you remember, because of being sick for a couple of weeks, we set aside our study of Genesis and began this little short mini-series on giving, since our memory verses for January and February are related to that subject. And if we started 2 weeks ago with highlighting, calling attention once again to our year verse from 2 Kings 3, where it's an easy thing, a simple matter in the eyes of the Lord. And then as an area of our lives where we're targeting this verse for January and February in our monthly memory verses from Malachi 10:11, he says, speak out on the Lord, we again have promised to respond to that. And so memory here, easing a simple matter with what air lifted him January 4, happening of events and vision, and verse Malachi 10 and just under the last February, so that'll be verses. You can be on these as exaggerated excitement next week. 2 weeks, just review them again, and 2 weeks ago, looked at the principle of it, we learned that a willingness to give to the Lord comes from or flows out of our commitment to the Lord. Now, a person can still give to the Lord, but they may be more out of obligation or some other reason, but not out of a glad willingness. That glad willingness flows from that commitment that's been made to Him. And to illustrate this, we went to where the people were giving to build the temple under David's reign in 1 Chronicles 29. And we saw there that a willingness to give brought about these reasons. They realized the work is done for the Lord and not for man. Because you love the Lord and His work, rejoice in the opportunity to say thank you to God. You remember that what you give already belongs to Him anyway, as well as what you don't give. You recognize the importance of being right with God, and you want to return all the glory, the blessing, and the honor to the Lord. We saw that in the people there in 1 Chronicles 29, but it flowed out of their commitment to the Lord. Because of that, there was this willingness to give for all these reasons we just mentioned. And that is very applicable to us as well. Those are very valid reasons to give willingly to the Lord. And so we close that first message with this question: what does my giving to the Lord reflect about my commitment to Him? What does my giving reflect about my commitment to Him? That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we began looking at three descriptions in the New Testament about how it talks about giving. In other words, as the New Testament talks about giving, it talks about it primarily in these three ways. And we began working our way through this all under the banner of how much should we give. And the first one was give bountifully. And we looked at 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So the principle is give bountifully. Why? Because you reap what you sow. And so Paul uses the analogy of the farmer sowing his seed. The more seed, the more bountifully he sows the seed, the greater the harvest. And the harvest is much greater than the little bit of seed he threw out. So give bountifully. In fact, I was reading the story about a farmer who was known for his bountiful giving to the Lord, and he always had so much left over. His friends never could figure out why he always had so much more to give than they did, since he gave so much away. And so finally they got up the nerve to come and ask him that question. And it's asking, "What, you give away so much to the Lord, and you seem to have always much more to give, much more than we do. Why is that?" And his response was, "It's no secret. I give bountifully to the Lord. I shovel into the Lord's bin, and then he turns around and shovels into my bin, and he has a much bigger shovel than I do. And so I always have more." But remember, we talked about, don't always think about it in terms of just money or finances, because the Lord's blessing flows over to so many different areas. But the principle is, give bountifully, because you reap what you sow. The second thing we looked at, the second description the New Testament gives in terms of giving, was give proportionately. And it was seen in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you layeth by him in store," in other words, put aside and save, here's the principle, "as God hath prospered him." So proportionate giving, as God hath prospered you. And here's where we began talking about tithing, which is so big in many churches. And I shared with you how I believe this style of giving, giving bountifully, giving proportionately, and then the third one we're going to look at today, is the New Testament replacement of the Old Testament tithe. And yet at the same time, we began looking at some of the Old Testament passages that talked about why they tithe and saw that, those are very good reasons to apply to us, even though we're not under that kind of law anymore. And so we started walking through that. The first one was found in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. This is the story of Abraham and Melchizedek. You remember Abraham had gone to rescue Lot, who had been captured. He defeated all those kings, gathered great spoil from the victory. And as he's coming back home, he runs into Melchizedek. He recognizes him as the king and priest. He recognizes him as God's representative. And it says that Abraham pledged and gave him a tenth of all the spoil, the first mention of tithing in the Bible. And so we learn from that the reason Abraham gave a tithe was to recognize the greatness, God, of the one who had blessed him, and thus he gave it to God's representative, Melchizedek, but to recognize the greatness of the one who had blessed him. And so the question for us was, do you ever give because of that kind of reason? You recognize God's greatness in providing for you and protecting you and rescuing you and answering your prayers. Other many ways He manifests Himself to you and His greatness. And so we give to recognize the greatness of God and what He has done for us. The second example of tithing in the Bible, same book, Genesis 28, verses 18 through 22. This is the story of Jacob when God appeared to him on his way to Haran. And in that, Jacob made a promise that as God blessed him in all these ways, protection in other ways, that he would give him a tenth of all that God had given to him. And so we learn here the second reason we see tithing in the Bible, the reason why he gave was to reveal his gratitude for the blessing God would give to him. To reveal his gratitude. Now, very similar to the first one, but there's a little bit of difference. One, the first one was to recognize God's greatness in what he's done for you. The second one here is just an expression of my thanks, my gratitude for what he's done for me. So that's where we stopped last week. There's four more we need to look at today real quickly. We're going to run through these. And you can write the references down. You can write the reasons down and do a little bit more thinking about them later. But here's number three. When you talk about tithing, this is the reason they gave a tithe in the Old Testament. And it's found in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, 24, 25, 26, 28. I've put it up here on PowerPoint for you so you can just follow it real quickly. Here's how it reads. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. Verse 24. For the tithe of the sons of Israel which they offer us as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, in other words, a tithe of the tithe. Verse 28. So you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithes, which you receive from the sons of Israel, and from it you shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron the priest. And so here we see another reason why the people tithe in the Old Testament. The Levites, they received the tithes from the people, and then they turned around and tithe to the high priest. So everybody tithe, even the priest. No one was exempt from that. But why did the people, in this instance, why does it say, talking about why did they bring and tithe to the Levites? And here's the answer to that. It was to release the Levites and the priests from having to make a living outside of their work in the tabernacle. If you remember the story, remember the history, when God came and he began to give the allotment of the land to the 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi was omitted. They received no allotment of the land because they were in full-time service in the tent of meetings, the tabernacle, and therefore that required all their attention. And so they received no land, and therefore there was no way for them to make a living as the other people did through farming and whatever, crops, flocks, and so forth. And so the people came and they tithed to the Levites to relieve them of having to earn a living any other way. And so thus the people of Israel under God's command relieved them of that responsibility. Obviously, that's where we trace the practice of paid clergy today, same kind of principle. And so here they gave a tithe to release the priests and the Levites from making a living outside of their work in the tabernacle. That's not maybe the most important reason of why they tithe in the Old Testament, but it is one reason. And so I just wanted you to see that. The next one is found in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. It reads this way. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flocks. Here's the reason why. So that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And so here we see another reason why a tithe was given, and it was to respect and fear the Lord and to recognize and sense one's accountability to God. God had come, he had required, he had commanded them to give a tithe, and therefore they had an accountability to God to carry out that commandment to them. And so in light of that, let me just ask us a question in our day. If you have a Christian who doesn't consistently and proportionally give to the Lord, does that not say about them that they don't sense any kind of accountability on their part to the Lord? That they, in their minds, they just kind of, they're ignoring they have any kind of accountability to God in this area of their life. And therefore, it just makes me wonder how many blessings God has possibly withheld from them. Or to use our memory verse in Malachi, maybe ways he did not rebuke the devourer in their life. Because they recognized they didn't have any accountability to him in this area. And so he's going to extract it one way or another, isn't he? And so they gave to respect and fear the Lord and sense their accountability to him. Here's the fifth one. It's also in the same chapter, 14, Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien, the orphan, and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied. Here's the reason you're going to do it. In order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. So here's a fifth reason they gave a tithe in the Old Testament, and it was to receive the blessing of the Lord. The tithe went to care for those who could not care completely for themselves. But by giving this tithe, God promised that the Lord your God will bless you for giving it. So they gave in order to receive the blessing of God. So, question for us. Is it right to give in order that we might be blessed? Yes. Now, not in the way the charlatans on TV try to tell it to you, but it is proper, it's a proper motivation to give in order to receive the blessing of God. Again, don't always think about that in material and financial ways, because the blessing of God is, again, so much broader than we think about many times. But note, it is God that's saying this, I'm going to bless you. God's the one that's promising to do that. It's not me up here trying to manipulate you or anything like that. God's making the promise. It's on him. He says, you give, I'll bless you. And so yes, biblically, it is a proper motivation. It's not the whole thing, but it's a part of it. It's a proper motivation to give so that God will bless you. Again, not necessarily always financially. This is very similar to what our memory verse is talking about. Now, you may not remember the verses before Malachi 3, but remember God came to the people and he asked them the question, why are you robbing me? And they said, how are we robbing you? And God's response was, by not giving the tithes and offerings that belong to me. And then he comes to this, our verse for January, Malachi 3:10, and he tells them, you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And he says, I want you to test me now in this. That if you will do that, will I not open for you what? The windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing for you until it overflows. This is God saying, test me. It's not the pastor, it's not a priest, not anybody. God's saying it. It's on him. He wants us to test him in this. And he says, give. Give joyfully. Give out of faith. But give, and I will bless you for giving unto me. And then the last one we're going to look at, number 6, also found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 10 and 11. It reads this way. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And then it says, you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you in your household. And so I would suggest to you a 6th reason they gave a tithe was simply to worship the Lord. And he gives specifically one of the ways they would worship him is by rejoicing in all the good which God had done for them and their household. Giving praise to him. Worship him in praise and thanksgiving. That's why sometimes we'll make the statement, let's worship the Lord through our giving. It is to be a part of worship. And so if you, I don't know what goes in your mind, but if you kind of go into cruise control or you give just because of paying the bills, meeting the budget, then you've missed one of the reasons, key reasons God wants us to give. He wants us to worship him in our giving for what he's done for us, all the good he's brought to you, to your household, and to this church, and in other ways as well, but to rejoice and praise him for the good. So, you know, when that plate's passed, don't go in cruise control mode. But think about why you're giving. Think about the one you're giving to. Think about how he's enabled you to be able to give and what he's done for you, and to worship him and give thanks to him as you give because of all the good he's brought to you in your household. So these are reasons in the Old Testament why they gave a tithe. Now, if you look at all those, put them all together again to recognize the greatness of the one who's blessed you, to reveal your gratitude for the blessing of God on your life, to relieve the priests and Levites from having to make a living outside of their work of the tabernacle, to respect and fear the Lord, sense my accountability to him, to receive the blessing of the Lord, to respond in worship. If you look at all those reasons why they gave in the Old Testament, you think, hey, those are pretty good reasons to still give to the Lord. And so even though I suggested to you the New Testament has a replacement for the tithe and what we've been looking at, these are still very valid reasons of why I ought to give to the Lord. And so what I would encourage us to do is each week, if the plate's passed, if you're putting something in the plate, think through these or think through one of them each week. And just say, Lord, I'm giving you today because of one of these reasons. Because it's still applicable to us today. All right, so that's just a quick review of a tithe in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the question we began with last week, and that is, how much should we give according to what the New Testament teaches? And we've looked at give bountifully, because you reap what you sow. Give proportionally, as the Lord hath blessed you. Now, is that to be done in the 10% mode? In other words, a tithe. In other words, if my salary is $50,000, am I supposed to give $5,000? I can give a tenth to the Lord. Well, the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians, as the Lord has prospered you. So let's just kind of think through this for a moment. Let's say you have a person who makes that $50,000, and therefore they tithe the $50,000, and therefore they have $45,000 left to live on. Then you have a person who makes, say, $150,000. They tithe their salary, and they have $135,000 to live on. Let's say, I don't know what, maybe the economy requires, whatever, $40,000 to live off of. So the person with $45,000, they may have a little bit of struggle. The person with $135,000, they're going to be pretty comfortable unless they've continued to raise their lifestyle, then they may have some struggles as well, right? So, obviously, the Lord, financially speaking, has prospered the one making $150,000 more. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we all should be equal. We all should have the same equal amount to live off of. But the principle is give proportionally as the Lord has prospered you. And therefore, each one of us has to go before the Lord and honestly ask him, Lord, what do you want me to give in light of how you have prospered me? Notice there's not an amount given, and I'm not telling you an amount. The principle is as the Lord has prospered you, and you've got to honestly search out the Lord, what that means for you, what He wants you to give in your situation. But to give as the Lord has prospered you. Now, you may say, well, how has He prospered me? Well, you know, I'm not some highly paid CEO. Or, well, I'm not making as much as I'd like to make. Who does? But has He prospered you? Therefore, give in light of that. Give in light of that. Give proportionately. Give bountifully. And then the third description the New Testament gives us in terms of how to give is give sacrificially. And you know this little story, but let me just read it from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, all she had to live on." So it's the story of the widow and the two mites, as the King James says it. I mean, what are you going to buy with two mites? What are you going to buy with two small copper coins? And yet, Jesus said she had given more than all the rich men who had given according to the law. They had fulfilled the obligation, what they were told to give. But Jesus says she gave more than all of them because she gave all that she had. So the question was not how much she gave, but how much she had left over after she gave. And so the rich men, again, they gave the proper amount. They gave the amount that was required under tithing. But she gave sacrificially and earned Jesus' highest praise. Why? Because it's not so much that you give, but how and why you give. And also because it's a picture of how Jesus was going to give. He was going to give how much? 100%. And we remember the verse in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that what? We through His poverty might become rich." He gave 100% and still so gives to us. So why is it, even if you're thinking in the tithing mode, why is it so hard for people to give 10% when Christ has given 100% and continues to bountifully give to us? I read the story. I don't know the man's name. He was a wealthy businessman, and he was taking a trip to South Korea. And the man who was hosting him was a missionary. And during some of their traveling through South Korea, they were in a rural area, and the wealthy businessman looked out and he saw a man and his son out plowing the field. But what struck him was the fact that the young man, 16, 18, somewhere in that age range, he was strapped to the plow. He was the one pulling the plow, and the father was behind him holding the plow. And it just kind of struck him as odd, this businessman from America. So he asked the missionary about, he said something about to the missionary, that just seems so odd. Those must be incredibly poor people. And the missionary said, "They are poor people. The interesting thing is I know the story behind this." And so he proceeded to tell this wealthy American the story behind it. He said, "What the story is this. Several months back, their church was wanting to build them a church building. And so they had asked different members of the church to contribute something, kind of like what the people were doing there in 1 Chronicles 29. And so as this man and his son thought about it, they realized that they wanted to give, but that they didn't have anything to give. And then it struck them. We've got an ox we can sell. It's our only ox, but we can sell it. And so they sold it and gave all the proceeds to the church. And so as he was told this story, the businessman responded and said, "Wow, that must have been an incredible sacrifice that they made." And the missionary said, "No, they didn't look at it that way. They thought they were rather fortunate to have an ox to sell. How do we in America understand the concept of sacrifice? As we talked about last week, it's a kind of a foreign word to us. We can't aptly define it in the way so much of the world thinks about sacrifice. Interesting thing happened after that. That wealthy businessman, as he returned home to America, he went to see his pastor, told him the story, and said, "I want to double my giving because I realize all my giving to the Lord has really never cost me anything. And I want to do some plow work for the Lord." That's how it impacted him. But again, it's so hard. You know, for us, how do you even define sacrifice? You know, it's tough because we live in this materialistic, wealthy culture. And yet so much of the world, we hear stories, churches in China or Vietnam or wherever, and the glad sacrifice people are willing to make because they want to give to the Lord, because they love Him, because it's His work, because they want to give so bountifully, because they understand they're going to reap bountifully, maybe not in financially, but in just in the richness of God in their lives. Have you heard the little analogy that there are three kinds of givers? Flint, what was the second one? The sponge and the honeycomb. The flint, you have to hammer away at, and you get a few sparks and chips. The sponge you have to squeeze, and the more you squeeze, the more you get out of it. And that's the way, you know, a lot of those TV preachers understand that, so they try to squeeze us hard. But then there's the honeycomb that just kind of overflows with its own sweetness. And the question was asked, what kind of giver best describes you based on those three, the flint, the sponge, or the honeycomb? 2 weeks ago, the principle of commitment. And if there's a commitment to the Lord, flowing from that is this glad willingness to give to Him. And then the last 2 weeks, how much should we give? The New Testament says you are to give bountifully because you reap what you sow. You are to give proportionally as the Lord has blessed you. And you are to give sacrificially because that's the way the Lord has given to you. That's giving, New Testament style. One other thing, as you give in faith and joy and thankfulness, I am convinced that you will discover, and many of us have, that you will discover that God is able to manage much better what's left over than you could manage all of it to begin with. That as we give joyfully to the Lord, He will manage what's left over much better than if you tried to manage 100% of it yourself. And many people could testify of that reality in their life. Give bountifully, proportionally, sacrificially. Those are the three main ways the New Testament talks about giving. And the Lord said, "Test me now in this, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing for you that till it overflows." All right, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for how the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, for His glad sacrifice to provide salvation for us, and how He continues to give to us as we lay our lives in His hands, as we in faith trust Him to care for us. Lord, thank You for the ways many of us have seen where You have rebuked the devourer in different facets in our lives. Thank You for the ways that You have opened the windows of heaven, sometimes in a financial way, many times in non-financial ways. But we realize we have received the blessing of God. So, Father, I just pray You would continue to teach us and apply this to our lives. Because, Lord, we live in this society where we feel like if I just give that obligation part and I'm taken care of, and then I can do whatever I want to with the rest of it. to remind us of the things we've talked about and how it's to impact our lives and how your word so frequently associates how we handle our money and our giving patterns in terms of where we really are spiritually and our spiritual health and maturity with you. And I pray for those this morning, Lord, that maybe have some real financial needs in their lives, and maybe it's a real struggle to give to you. And I pray for the grace of faith to trust you as they give gladly to you, trusting you with your promises, and that you enable them to walk by faith, not by what's in their checking account. But we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.